worshiping God. I know you do too. Something happens within you when you worship God in spirit and in truth. The Bible says what the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Feel free to worship. Feel free to say, Hosanna. Why don't we try that? You guys on this side, there's two rolls here. One, two, three. All right, you guys could do better. One, two, three.
Hosanna!
All together. Hosanna. I thought I'd teach you some Spanish. Since I've been coming to Mayfair for the last 3 years, I've been teaching you Spanish, and you guys are learning fast and furious, and I love that you are such good learners. So I thought I should teach you how to say Hosanna in Spanish. This is how you say it in Spanish. En español, uno, dos, y tres. Hosanna! That's how you say it. Well, this morning, I'm so glad that I have the privilege to bring God's Word to you. If you have your Bible, I would ask you to open up your Bible to Matthew 21. Matthew 21. For those who are listening in Spanish, Mateo 21. You may remain seated with reverence in your heart. Matthew 21, and we will be reading the first 11 verses. Matthew 21, 1 through 11. The last week of Jesus' public life on earth started on a Sunday. I was thinking about that because I believe that God loves us. Not only does he love us, he likes us. That's taking it to another level, you know what I mean? He loves us, he likes us, and I've learned after serving Christ for over 40 years that God has a sense of humor. Can I get a witness this morning? I do know that every time I see myself in the mirror, I realize he does have a sense of humor. But this is why I'm saying this, because I have a daughter who was born, literally she was born on Good Friday. I have a grandson who is here today with the children whose birthday is today on Palm Sunday. I'm not making this stuff up. I know you guys come and listen to me and say, well, Pastor Garcia, he's given to hyperbole. He is exaggerating. Or here's a word that doesn't exist in the English language, but I have diplomatic immunity, so I can say some of those words. He is ministerially speaking. But I'm here to tell you, when I say that it is amazing, it is amazing. When I tell you that God is awesome, I believe it's awesome. When I tell you that when Jesus said, when people were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, glory, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Herodians and all those people who were baptized in lemon juice said, you should tell your disciples to be quiet. It's in the Bible. Jesus says, I tell you, if they don't praise, the rocks will praise. I want to praise God this morning. Jesus, last week on earth, last public ministry week on earth, started on a Sunday. He entered into Jerusalem to the sound of the people saying, glory to God in the highest. Hosanna, which means save. Hosanna, save us. Hosanna, save us now. It must have been great to be there. I wanted to be there, but I was born 2,000 years too late. The multitude started cutting down palm branches from the trees and spreading them down on the road. And thus we get the name Palm Sunday. This is indeed the final week of Jesus' public ministry on earth. And before you know it, he's put on a cross to die for our sins, to redeem us from sin, to set us free on Calvary's cross. In Matthew 21, verses 1 through 11, you may remain seated. The Bible says, now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. Verse 3, and if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them. Verse 4, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, Behold, your king is coming to you lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, a foal of a donkey. So the disciples went as he and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt and laid the clothes on them and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had come to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? So the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we read in your word, the Bible, that the common people heard Jesus gladly. It is my prayer, and I ask you this morning that you give us ears to hear and glad hearts to receive what your Holy Spirit has prepared to be received by faith. Lord, speak to us. We will listen, and we will obey in Jesus' name. And God's people say, I want to remind you this morning that this event, Palm Sunday, is one of those few events that is actually recorded in all four Gospels. It is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But it's one of only three events in which the Savior cried. Did you know there were events that made the Savior cry? And some people, maybe I grew up this way, down in Puerto Rico, they will say, men don't cry. And they could be really rough and tough. And most people in my country are about my height or a little bit shorter. So you got this man saying, men don't cry. I'm here to tell you, I feel sorry for a man that cannot cry. I'm here to tell you, behold, the Son of God, he cried. In fact, in the Bible, it is registered that he cried three times and he wept three different kinds of tears. Did you know that? At the tomb of his friend Lazarus, Jesus cried tears of sympathy. At the triumphal entry, Palm Sunday, he cried tears of urgency. And at the Garden of Gethsemane, he cried tears of agony. We're told in the Bible, Luke 19:41, you don't have to go there, we're staying in Matthew. But this is the place where we're told that as Jesus approached Jerusalem, he wept over the city and said, even you, if you had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden before your eyes. Jesus was heartbroken because Jerusalem did not recognize on this Palm Sunday, even though they were saying Hosanna, even though they were cutting down branches, they did not recognize their day of visitation. If you allow me this morning, I want to share three things quickly from this passage with you. Number one, I want you to see that this was a prepared entry. I want you to really understand this because this was not a mistake. This was not a coincidence. I believe that God turns coincidences into God incidents. Have you ever had that happen to you? You thought it was a coincidence, but it ended up being a God incident. Not only is it a God incident, it's a providential incident. It's a prophetic incident. And this is a prepared entry. It was not accidental. Yes, there was a physical preparation. We just read it in verses 1 and 3, 6 and 7, where Jesus told his disciples, you go and get me a donkey, and you're going to find it. And by the way, some people read a miracle into this part. It could have been a miracle, Jesus, because he knows it all. He knows your heart. He knows what your thoughts. He knows what's in your mind. But we don't have to necessarily read a miracle into it. Let me tell you, Jesus is Jesus. And Jesus does not need us to make him more Jesus. Sometimes the problem we have is that we want to change Jesus instead of allowing Jesus to change us. So Jesus might have made preparations prior to his entry this Palm Sunday. Or again, he could have been using his all knowledge, his omniscient, and he could have just been telling the disciple what's going to happen. That's up to you to decide, okay? But I just want you to know that. He made physical preparation, but there was a need greater than the physical preparation. So God, in his infinite knowledge, had made a spiritual preparation. I want to ask you this morning, how would you arrange, how would you prepare for a king to come to Flushing, or for a president to come and visit and have maximum exposure? How would you do it? Would you have a parade so everybody gets a chance to see the important person, the VIP, go down the road, and everybody's with flags or with branch? I don't know if they'll use branches here. Where I'm from, we got plenty of palm tree branches. But how would you do it? How would you prepare for such a thing? I want you to know Jesus is fully prepared. Not only fully prepared, he's fully in control. I heard a story of, apparently a true story, but I don't know the names, that one of our presidents, back in the 80s maybe, it might have been Ronald Reagan or something. You know, back in those days, people read newspapers. Now we don't read newspapers that much. But evidently, the administration had said that the president was going to be in a certain city, and he was going to attend church that Sunday. Well, the media, as soon as they found out that the president was going to be in a church, and they didn't get the information from the administration, they started calling every church in that city, wanting to know if the president was going to show up to the church. So they were calling. So they called this one pastor. Maybe he was a little bit like me. And they asked him, do you know if the president is going to be worshiping at your church this Sunday? Is he going to be present at your church? And the pastor said, why do you need to know? Well, we want to send cameras. We want to send a team. We want to make sure everybody knows that the president is there. And this is the answer from the pastor. I think it's classic. He said, I don't know if the president is coming, but Jesus will be here. Are you bringing the cameras now? I love that, pastor. How about you? Jesus prepared his whole life for this moment. Throughout the ministry and the life of Jesus, you hear Jesus say many times, my hour has not come. At the wedding in Cana, he told Mary, my hour has not come. And over, he will do a miracle, and people wanted to make him king. My hour has not come. I want to tell you this morning, when he came to this day, his hour has come. His moment, he's in charge. Nothing happened by accident. Nothing was accidental. Everything was fundamental. Every detail is important. The day was important. Even the donkey was important. The palm trees were important. The prophecies were important. The tears were important of Jesus. This is the day of Jesus' visitation to Jerusalem, and they were not ready. That very first Palm Sunday fell, a lot of people don't know this, on the Jewish month that is known as Nisan. I'm not talking about the car, about the month. And it fell that year on the 10th of Nisan. And on that very day, it was the day when people selected the Passover lamb. And that is the exact day that Jesus comes and enters into Jerusalem to fulfill the prophecies in Scripture. And when I see that, I just imagine that. I even said to myself, I wish I could have been that donkey. I did. What a privilege to have Jesus. And I wish I could have been there, because to see how God is putting everything together, to see how God is making sure that the prophecies are being fulfilled. And when he chooses the very day when every person in Israel, every head of the house is looking for a Passover lamb that is spotless, without blemish, God is saying, behold my lamb. God is saying, can you see I am bringing you the blameless, sinless Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. God is making an announcement that is prepared before the foundation of the world, before the creation of the world. God is saying, this is my son. This is the Lamb of God. You remember those words echo the words of John the Baptist when he saw Jesus and he said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Jesus is riding down on a donkey. And just by doing that in that day, in that moment, fulfilling scripture, even the prophecy that we're going to be reading in just a second, he's telling to the world, I am the Lamb of God, the only one who can take away the sins of the world. It was a prepared entry. Jesus was prepared. Jesus was in charge. In heaven, Jesus emptied himself and took the form of a servant coming to earth. On earth, we see Jesus as a seeker, seeking to save that which is lost. So we see him as a servant, we see him as a seeker, and here in what we call in Spanish Holy Week, Semana Santa, here we see Jesus as the Savior. Not just a servant, not just a seeker who's seeking you, who wants you to be saved, but as a Savior, the only one who can save you. And from that moment on, I hope you are able to see with the eyes of faith that Jesus is indeed the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Not only do we see a prepared entry, all those details that I wish we had time to go over, we also see a prophesied entry. Look at verses 4 and 5 with me. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt. Jesus had wept tears of urgency for Jerusalem because on that day of the visitation, they did not foresee or perceive that the prophecy was being fulfilled right before their eyes. There is another prophecy. I just want you to write it down. We don't have time today to go into it. But in Daniel chapter 9, verses 26 and 27, we won't go there, like I said, but God prophesied through the prophet Daniel the very day in which this entry took place. It is a day, a messianic demonstration. It is a day of prophecy fulfillment. If you had the time during this week, I beseech you, I beg you, I ask you, please do yourself a favor and study that. You'll be amazed how precise and how God is able to foretell the future and fulfill it exactly the way he said. Prophecy fulfillment is why I often say to people who I run into, and I run into a lot of them, not because I'm running, just because I'm doing my life, who claim that God doesn't exist. We call those people atheists. I tell those atheists as follows. I will never have enough faith to be an atheist. Try that one time and think about it. Because I really believe that in light of God's word, in light of what God has done and how God has not left himself without a witness, it takes more faith to deny that there is a God than there is a God. About 3 weeks ago, if I remember correctly, we had one of our widows lose power. And because she had lost power, her sump pump wasn't working anymore. And then when the power came back on, it wasn't working anymore. Sometimes you don't want to stop working because when you stop, you don't want to restart. True story, right, Jared? I know, especially if you're really tired. But her pump wouldn't work. So she calls me. It was late at night. I said, I don't want to work. I didn't say that. I know she's watching. I mean, it had been raining and raining, so the basement was already getting flooded. It was bad. So I said, I'm going to send you some people that come to our church. I didn't ask permission to name them, but they sit over there by Italy. But they shall remain nameless. I sent them to him, and he took the pump out, and he looked at it, and he had all this, whatever you call it, cleaned it out, flushed it out,
gunk out. It's gunk, that's what we call it, right? Gunk it out. He gunk it out. It looked good. Put it back on, plugged it in. It wasn't working. So they called me and said, the pump is not working. All right, I'm going to have to work. I head over to Home Depot. I'm looking at the pump prices. Have you seen how much money those things are? Boy, it takes a lot of faith to believe. And I'm looking, I'm scratching my head, that pump is expensive. And as I'm looking at it, one of the employees looked at me and said, hey, don't buy those pumps. Why not? I need one. We got these over here. They're just as good as these, but these are over 50% off, and you get 5-year warranty on it. You know which one I bought? So as I'm walking out, it was a Saturday, and I think he asked me, are you working tomorrow? I said, man, I've been working every Sunday for the last 30 years. Because he felt bad because he had to work on Sunday. He said, what do you do? Oh, I'm a pastor. And he looked at me and said, I'm an atheist. He wanted to stop the conversation, all right? Once you tell somebody something about Jesus, sometimes they want to stop it. They could be nice to you, talk to you, want a cup of coffee? You're a Christian? Forget about the cup of coffee. But he looked at me and said, I'm an atheist. He wanted to shut down the conversation. And I said, okay, I understand. I respect you. I hope you respect me. But I want you to know that today, right before your eyes, God used an atheist, you, to get a widow from our church, a pump that was cheaper, and he brought a pastor to tell you about it. True story. Next time I went to Home Depot with my wife, Adeline, I said, let me see if I find him. We found him. He was happy to talk to me. I'm here to tell you, it is fulfilled prophecy. God has not left himself without a witness. So if you hear the voice of God this morning, do not harden your heart. Open your heart to the Savior. Repent from your sins and call on him Savior. You could say Hosanna, which means save. Save now. Ask him to save you. And I tell you that he will save you. Some of you are saying, well, what about the donkey thing here, you know? In Spanish, burrito, little donkey. Some of you, when you go and buy Mexican food and you ask for burrito, so you'll be at ease, you're not eating donkey, okay? But burro is donkey, burrito is little donkey. And the donkey in this prophecy that we read from Zechariah chapter 9 is actually a big visual aid for the people of Israel to realize this is the fulfillment. In fact, that's what Matthew says. This took place so that what is written in the prophecy will be fulfilled. And it's a visual aid for the people that the prophecy was being fulfilled. So he rides on the donkey and is being identified as their Messiah who came in peace and not for war. In that group of people that were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, we're people who later on a Friday, will say, instead of Hosanna, crucify him, crucify him. I ask myself, how do you go from Hosanna to crucify him? There were people who were there, who were watching what happened, what took place, and did not recognize that the prophecy was being fulfilled, did not recognize the day of their visitation. And it breaks my heart because I believe that in any large setting, in any place where you have a multitude, you have different kinds of people. If you read the Gospels, by the way, I ask you to do that if you have time. And if you don't have time, I still ask you to do it anyway. Take the four Gospels and get a complete composite picture and piece together everything that happened. You're going to get a bigger picture than what you thought. There were people there who were pretending to be amazed. There were people there like the Pharisees and the Sadducees that only wanted to trap him. There were people there that only wanted to kill him. In fact, the Bible says that because Jesus, and it is in this setting, had already brought his friend Lazarus from the dead, even though he cried at his tomb, he brought him back to life. They're saying, there are too many people believing in Jesus because of that Lazarus guy. We have to end him too. So there were people there with an agenda. There were people there not for Jesus, but for their purposes to take place. But God wants you to realize this, and I already said it once, and I shall say it again. Do not try to change Jesus. Let Jesus change you. Because when Jesus changes you, the change is more to you, for you to become more like Christ, to be more like Christ-like. So Jesus rides on a donkey, lowly, humbly, but also identified himself as the King of the Jews. It was a day of messianic demonstration. This is your Messiah. This is your King. The prophecy is being fulfilled. And did you notice that Jesus did not come on a horse? In that time, if you wanted to demonstrate peace, you would ride on a donkey. But if you were ready for war, you would ride on a horse. I'm here to tell you, we call this event the triumphal entry. But there's going to be another entry. And in that second entry, after Jesus has come for his church and he's taken his church, he's going to come back with his church. And the Bible says that he's riding not on a donkey, he's riding on a horse. The first time he came as a lamb, the second time he comes as a lion, which should make us wonder, if he came when he had to suffer and die and be humiliated and be crucified and crowned with thorns on a cross and suffer the shame and take away the sin, if he came then, how much more is he coming when he's coming with glory and power and with all these angels? He's coming back, people. Amen. Not only is a prepared entry, it's a prophesied entry. Again, I want you to study those prophecies. I have a note here which I'm going to share with you quickly because I don't want to. There is a person who did the math. I'm not a mathematician, but this person is a grand mathematician. And he took the prophecies of the Bible, and he said that for just 5 of those prophecies to be fulfilled exactly how the Bible says it happened with the same person, and the person not being able to actually do something about it, because how do you fulfill prophecies when you're dead in a grave? You can't say, well, he did it, but he's dead. Oh, he rolled the stone. No, he's dead. You can't do it if you're dead. So how do you do that? He said, and this is the illustration that the mathematician said, it is easier for a tornado to go through a junkyard, and as a result of the tornado going through a junkyard, you like when I make those noises, don't you? It's a tornado, so I gotta turn around. You can just imagine all the junk and all the car and all the parts flying up in there, and at the end, behold, an airplane, 747, fully assembled and ready to fly. It is easier for that to take place than for 5 prophecies to be fulfilled like Jesus fulfilled them. There is no excuse. It takes more faith to be an atheist than to be a believer. It was a palm entry. On this Sunday, verses 8 and 9, most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread. By the way, I wanted one of those branches. How come the children were the only ones who got it? It seemed to me, right, Janet, there were plenty of branches there. I want to take one home with me before I go. But they literally were cutting down the branches from the trees and spreading them on the road. And the crowds went before him, and those who followed him were shouting. They were not saying, because sometimes we get embarrassed in front of people, right? Hosanna? Huh? Hosanna? What, are you talking about Jesus? Hosanna? He says here, they were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They were waving branches, cutting branches, putting them on the road. That plays a prominent role. If you know the history of Israel, the wars and the victories, especially in that silent 400 period year of silence, they were celebrating their victories with branches and praise because a great enemy had been crushed. A great enemy had been removed, so they would use branches. And the people of Jerusalem saw Jesus as an earthly king who they thought would come and defeat the oppressive Roman Empire. Their vision was limited and finite, and they were trying to follow their own needs and their own desires, but they failed to see the day of their visitation. They failed to understand that Jesus had come, and the reason you're waving branches, you're cutting branches, you're taking your cloak and putting it on the road is because there is a greater enemy than Roman Empire. There is a greater enemy than the Sadducees and the Pharisees. There is the enemy who wants you dead. There is the enemy that we call sin, and Jesus came to defeat that enemy, and when he said, "It is finished," he won. Do you remember when you first came to Jesus? Do you remember when Jesus first came into your life? Were you excited? Sometimes we call that first love. I was. Your heart was on fire, not just fire, but fire. Fuego. I mean, people thought you were weird. Why is he talking about Jesus? Okay, I know you went to Mayfair. You had that crazy preacher who thinks he's a tornado. Yeah, and then at the end, you got Jesus and you got religion. You let that person know, I didn't get religion. I got a relationship with the Son of God. I got a relationship with the Lamb of God. I got a relationship with the one who loved me so much that he died for me and opened up his arm on the cross. And if you allow me to say this, I think he was saying, I love you this much. No one can take that away from you. We should be able to say Hosanna. We should be able to wave our palm trees. Say, there is a victory that goes beyond any victory. Jesus has won. And because he won, he's made you more than a conqueror. And because he lives, so can you live in the faith and the knowledge and the love of the Son of God who loved you and gave himself for you. He asked me, Brother Garcia, do you live for yourself? I'll give you a scripture answer. I no longer live for myself, but I live for the one who died for me. And in doing so, I find that my life is more blessed than I could ever imagine. In doing so, he does things for me that I cannot explain. I have a daughter born on Good Friday, a grandson born on Palm Sunday. I wonder what's going to happen on Resurrection Day. My daughter said, Dad, don't say that because I'm not having any more children. I want that fire of knowing him who is the Lamb of God to be kindled into a flame. You know how you take a little fire and you, have you done that, Brandon? And it just kindles into a flame. See, because in my years, I met many Christians who are match Christian and many Christians who are torches, like a torch Christian. You know the difference between a match Christian and a torch Christian? Take a little match out of that matchbox and go, you go, you done it, and you think it's going to blow the whole place up, but wait a second, then it starts fading away. Some of them actually, they fold, right? Especially the cheap ones that come, like, you can't even get them going. But even the good ones, eventually. But I want Christians who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, who understand that Jesus prepared this, who understand that Jesus prophesied this and fulfilled the prophecy, that no one could convince him otherwise. He set his face in the Old Testament, says, as flint towards Jerusalem. No one could tell him, don't go there, they want to kill you. He did it because of you. I want you to be a torch-like Christian, that when you get fired up, you stay fired up. That when it gets dark, you still lighting the thing. Somebody said, Brother Garcia, you look sharp today. You're really shining. I'm going to turn off the light on you. That's what they said back there. Brother, you turn off the light on me. You don't want me to turn on my halo. Turn off the light. That's okay. Jesus lives. He is the light of the world. His light shines, and light overcomes darkness. He's here to save you. He's here. Can you be excited about that this morning? I want to conclude this morning, and then we'll pray. And as I prayed, if God is speaking to your heart, you come, and I'll come down and I'll pray with you. I want to conclude this morning by saying to you that on that very first Palm Sunday, The crowds refused to see him as he truly was and tried to change Jesus. Who is Jesus to you? Some of them concluded, he is the prophet Jesus of Nazareth. Is he the Lord and master of your life? Is he the one who gave his life, shed his blood on the cross, and forgave you your sins? What's really sad is that some people who were shouting that day, Hosanna, later on started saying, crucify him, crucify him. If you are physically able, please stand as we pray. Father, you know my heart. And all this week, as I've been going through scripture after scripture, reading the four gospels, I have been heavily convicted because maybe like those in that parade in Jerusalem, I'm just thinking that this is something we do once a year on Palm Sunday. This is something we do with the children on Palm Sunday. But this is something greater than one day. This is something that we should do and celebrate every day. Eternity itself will not be long enough for us to sing your praises and to worship you and adore you. So, oh Lord, help us to shout to the world that you live and that you saved us. And if this morning, Lord, there is someone here who has not yet placed his or her faith and trust in Jesus Christ, I pray that your Holy Spirit is doing that work and that they will come forward and answer the call. Just like you answer heaven's call, emptied yourself, became a servant. And on the earth, you became a servant. And on that day, you demonstrated not only you are a servant, not only are you all of that of which we speak, the seeker, but you are the Savior. May your Holy Spirit make that known to us right now. And may those who are being called respond to your calling. In Jesus' name.